On page 170 of the New Testament sections of the Bible, towards the end of the Bible, page 170, verse 14. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honourable, we clothe with greater honour, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honour to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the word of the Lord.
Please keep that passage open on your laps and let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word. The more we look at it, the more we marvel at its truth and relevance. Pray that you would show that again to us today, and through these words, speak to our hearts and lives. To your glory. Amen. So please, as I say, keep that passage open. And if by any chance you don't have it open, maybe you would turn to it now. In the New Testament section of the green Bibles in the seat underneath the chair in front of you, page 170, that's towards the back of the Bible, page 170, an outline on the screen, and if it helps you, as it always helps me, to take notes and use the notebooks and pencils in the seat pockets in front of you, please use them. Some people are what I call comfortable in their skin. And if you are like that, you are broadly content with the person you are. You're English or Indian or Welsh or Barbadian, and you are pleased with your nationality. As far as your personality is concerned, you're outgoing or retiring, calm or easily emotional, and you accept the person you are. And you have gifts. You're a man or woman of faith. You're hospitable. Or you love explaining the Bible to children. Or you're a geek who uses technology in the service of Christ and his church. And you're grateful for the gifts God has given you. If that is you, you are comfortable in your skin. But some people are not. And if you are like that, you're not very happy with your personality. You'd like to be different. You'd like to be more socially at ease, less easily embarrassed, more able to take an interest in others. And it's the same with your gifts. When you meet another Christian who has obvious gifts, they make you feel inadequate. Instead of being able just to admire and respect, you're envious or even on the lookout for weaknesses in that person, and she or he makes you feel uncomfortable about yourself. Now, of course, we Christians are all, we all fall short of what God wants us to be. All of us can and should ask God to make us more like Jesus. But the Apostle Paul said, I have learnt to be content with whatever I have, whatever money or lack of it, whatever gift God has given me. So are you comfortable in your skin? And if, like me, you're often not, if you're often downhearted about your awkwardness or your lack of gifts, especially compared with others, then this passage is wonderfully encouraging. Because it says first, you are essential to the church. In the previous passage, Paul has been saying the church is like a human body. And then he makes a further point, look at verse 14. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. In other words, in any church, in this church, there are people with different gifts, but there is one body, one church. You may think you are unimportant in all sense. That's just what Paul goes on to talk about. Look with me at verses 15 and 16. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. The foot might say, if any person had to choose between keeping their hands and keeping their feet, they'd choose their hands every time. Hands can do so much more than feet. So I'm unimportant to the body. And you may feel that the gift which you bring to All Saints is utterly unimportant. All I have the ability to do, you say, is visit a member of the church family who's in a residential home, or drive the minibus, or be relatively generous in my giving, or pray for the church and its growth every day. And you think, what I can give is so unimportant. There's a member of the church family who, when she telephones me, says, it's only Jane, that's not her real name. And I say to her, you're not only Jane in the All Saints family. Because Paul says to those of us who think we're unimportant in the church, you are essential. Look at verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? If everyone in the church was a preacher or everyone was a house group leader, we wouldn't be a church. We wouldn't be a rounded family, a body. He says the same in verse 19. If all were a single member, where would the body be? But it's not like that. Verse 20, as it is, there are many members, yet one body. And in the middle, Paul says, that's how God has arranged it. Look at the crucial verse, verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. God has chosen the gifts he has given you. You may think they're unimportant. The gift of listening carefully to someone in distress. The gift of cooking and delivering food to people who are ill or depressed. The gift of keeping the babies happy in the creche. But God has chosen these gifts for you and given them to you because for the good of the whole body, you and your gifts are essential. Second, Paul says, we need every member of the church. Because it may be that we also secretly believe that there are those within our church who add nothing or even whom we would be better off without. You may think that some others in All Saints really are not essential. And Paul talks about that. Look now at verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The head knows it is important, but feels it could really do without the feet. After all, says the head, do we really need them? And so there may be ministries in this church, and you think, do we really need them? Do we need a justice and peace group? Do we need the All Saints Walkers group? Or you might think of a person you know. That member of our house group, you think, is frankly a drain on the group. That person who comes to the 10:45 service adds nothing to the church family. But the New Testament says of these people and their gifts, they are indispensable. That's what Paul says in verse 22. On the contrary, he says, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Everybody, says Paul, has weaker members or people who seem to be weaker, whose gifts seem to be negligible. But within the Christian body, the Christian church, they are precisely the ones to be specially honored and cared for. Look now at verses 23 to 25. Those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members don't need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. He's thinking probably of the sexual organs. They are more vulnerable than other parts of the body. We don't display them as we might do our hair or our eyes. But they're still very important to us. And precisely because they are vulnerable, we care for them. Like a cricketer putting in a box or a hockey player putting on a mouth guard. And so it is with members of this church family who are or seem weaker. Who, yes, have something to offer, but it seems to us insignificant. They are to be specially honored by us, specially cared for. A child may read the Bible rather hesitantly, even rather inaudibly in a service, and we praise him for how he has served Christ. An elderly woman feels all she can do is to make cakes for a choir tea, and we thank her warmly for it. A sick person, a semi-invalid, takes the opportunity when he or she can of speaking to non-Christians about what God has done for him, and we celebrate that, we honor that, because we are aware that's how God has arranged it. Did you notice that halfway through verse 24? God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member. God has given different gifts to different people. Some are more obviously and widely useful gifts, and some gifts seem comparatively insignificant. God has arranged all that. And he wants us to give special honor and encouragement to those with what seem like lesser gifts. And not just, I think, can we make sure that we've got the sound going into the, Kirsty, they'll be in the coffee room, we'll have the sound on if you want. That'd be great, thank you. I love having babies here, incidentally, it doesn't matter what noise they make. And we're not just to honour each other, but to care for each other. In the church, in the body of Christ, we share each other's pain and joy. Look now at verse 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together with it. I once broke my little toe, a small part of the body, but my goodness, the whole body suffered. Or if someone says, you've got a lovely smile, you feel good all over. So it is in the body of Christ. If one of our members can't cope any longer with her husband and has to arrange for him to go into a residential home, we all suffer with her. If the child of church family parents stops being an active Christian, we all grieve with them and, where we can, pray with them for their children to come back to faith. And if one member is honored, when, for example, Judy Acheson was awarded the MBE, we all rejoiced. If one member brings a friend to church on Sunday and that friend gradually comes to Christ, we're all so thrilled. We need every member of the church, says Paul. And then he says at the end of the chapter, seek the gifts that will most build up the church. The last part of the chapter begins with a statement that we've come to expect, verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. But then comes something we don't expect at all. Look at verse 28. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then, and he mentions some other gifts. It seems here that Paul is grading the gifts of the Spirit, as if some were more important than others. And right at the end of the chapter, he says, verse 31, but strive for the greater gifts. All God's gifts to us are indispensable, he says, but some gifts are greater than others. What gifts is he thinking of? Well, if you look in the surrounding chapters, the greater gifts are those which most build up the church. In chapter 14, verse 5, he compares and contrasts the gifts of prophecy and of speaking in tongues. Look at what he says halfway through verse 5, chapter 14. One who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Someone speaking in tongues, he says, builds up only himself, whereas someone who prophesies builds up the church. So prophecy is the greater gift. Turn over the page to chapter 14, verse 12. Paul says, verse 12, so with yourselves, since you are eager for spiritual gifts, strive to excel in them for building up the church. The greater gifts build up the church more. And if you'll turn back a page to chapter 12, verse 7, we saw last week, verse 7 of chapter 12, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So the greatest gifts do most for the common good. And what in practice are these gifts? Well, let's look again at chapter 12, verse 28. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then others. Apostles are people commissioned directly by Christ to bring God's word to his people and to the world. Prophets are people whom God inspires to speak his word. Teachers are people who explain God's word to the people. The other gifts that Paul mentions in verse 28 are all essential for the full functioning of the body of Christ, but the greater gifts, because they bring the greatest good to the church, are the apostles, prophets, and teachers who, gifted by the Holy Spirit, bring us God's word. And that's how God has arranged it. Did you notice that in verse 28? God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, that's various ways of helping out practically, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. God chooses who is given the gifts. Each of us will be given some gift or gifts, an indispensable gift, but he chooses who is given these gifts and who is given the greater gifts which benefit most Christ's body, the church. Now, as I close, let me ask again the question I raised at the beginning. Are you comfortable in your skin? Are you grateful for the person God has made you, and especially the gifts he has chosen for you to be used for the common good of the church? Or are you uncomfortable in your skin, often envying other people, often wishing you were different from how God has made you, and especially that you had different gifts? Well, what does this passage say to us who are regularly or sometimes uncomfortable in our skin? It says, to me and to you, be content with the gifts God has given you. Did you notice in verses 29 and 30, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? Paul is saying, of course not, we're all different. God has been generous in giving us different gifts. We're not all going to be teachers. We're not all going to be leaders. We're not all going to speak in tongues. Or look again at verse 18. As it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. So let us be grateful for the gift that God has given us. Let you be grateful for the gift he's given you and for any and every way that you can contribute to the common good. And let's rejoice as we see other people's gifts, as well as being thankful for our own, so that we can make our contribution to the church, the body of Christ. Be content, says Paul. But that's not all, because the passage also says to us, be eager for further gifts to build up, in our case, all saints. Verse 31, but strive for the greater gifts, and especially those gifts that bring God's word to the church. It is so right to want to be a junior church leader. Not only because you love children, but because you want to bring God's word, the Bible, to the boys and girls of this junior church, of this church family, and of the wider community whose children come to our junior church. And you just love the thought of being able to explain a Bible story and their eyes opening to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in a new way. And if Paul Feasey comes up to you and asks you if you would perhaps consider getting involved in the leadership of 242, our younger teenage group, or 24/7, our older teenage group, don't say, "Do you know, I think I'm too old for that now." But I would encourage you, if you possibly can, to go for it. There's such excitement of being there on Tuesday night with the 24/7 members and watching teenagers in those Bible studies discover God's word for themselves. And when they are 40 and 50 and have children of their own whom they are helping to understand the Bible, they'll say, "I thank God for that 24/7 leader who introduced me to the Word of God and opened the Bible up for me." Or if your house group leader asks you next time to lead the Bible study, sure, you may be fearful, but I hope you will say yes. For the joy of leading the house group into a deeper understanding of God's Word. These two things are not contradictory. They can and should exist side by side in us so that we are quite content with the gift or gifts that God has given us, but that we are also eager for further gifts, and especially those gifts to build up children, teenagers, and adults of all saints and the people of Crowborough with the Word of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the body of Christ that is All Saints. We thank you for this church family. And we praise you that you have given a multiplicity of gifts to the members of this church, including giving me gifts. And each one of us wants to say individually, "I thank you for the gift or gifts you've given me. Help me to be content with that." But help each one of us also to long for further gifts, and especially that you might develop in us the gifts or a gift of opening up your word, explaining it, helping others to understand it, non-Christians and Christians, so that we may have the joy of being given a further gift, a greater gift, with which to serve you and for the common good. And we ask this to your glory. Amen.